Yeah. Amen. Praise God. I tell you, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, and it's good to be with God's people. You know, the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourself. Come together as a unit of believers. You know, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, the initial infilling of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, it wasn't poured out on one individual or two individuals or three. When the Holy Spirit was initially poured out in Acts chapter 2, it says that he poured out his Spirit as they came together. They were there praying for days and days and days. As they came together, the Holy Spirit came upon the 120. That's what was left, because they had many more than that before the 120. And it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon that place and filled them, what, with the Holy Spirit. Then he sent them forth to go and preach the gospel and to tell the good news to the people around about them. And it says that the good news of Jesus Christ was shed abroad because of the power, that to be filled with the power from on high. The Holy Spirit couldn't come till Jesus had died upon the cross, had paid the full payment of sin for us. When he said it was finished, or it is finished, it was finished with. Then when he, after he was here upon the earth for 40 days, before his ascension to the right hand of the Father, where his initial work was finished, that's when the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, came. And the Holy Spirit is still here this day. Man, God, hallelujah. Living in our lives, you know, the initial filling of the Holy Spirit comes when we get saved. The measure of His Spirit comes in. And also, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, as far as speaking in tongues, another measure of the Spirit of God comes into your heart and into our lives. And the power of Almighty God. The power of Almighty God. The power of Almighty God. You see, God never expected the Church of the Living God to function without the almighty power of the Holy Spirit. He never expected that. He never wanted that. He wanted us to rely upon the Spirit of God, that it dwells on the inside of us, that stirs our spirit on the inside of us, so that we can do the mighty work of the gospel because of what he has in us and done in us and through us. The power of Almighty God. The power of Almighty God. You know, it takes the power of God to move upon people's hearts and souls. It takes the power of God to draw them in and save their souls. All we are oracles of God giving out the word, telling them who to look to. And as we do that, the power of Almighty God comes in. My God, what a God we serve. I want you to turn, if you would, to Genesis. Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Let's make our covenant with God as our blessings. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today I'm going to be talking about Abraham and Lot. You know, Abraham and Sarah, you know, the father Abraham, they call him. Then we have the nephew Lot, his nephew Lot. Here we see in Genesis chapter 13, starting with verse 5, we'll read. It says, and Lot also, which went with Abram, that's what it was called before, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt them in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray you, between me and you, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I pray you, from me. If you will take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and all the plains of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you come unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinless before the Lord exceedingly. Here there were two men, Abram and Lot. Abraham, you know, was the uncle of Lot. Lot was the nephew. But they had become such increasingly rich that they had a lot of cattle. I mean, they had so much cattle, God kept blessing and blessing them, mainly because of Abraham and the covenant that God had made with Abraham, and blessed them and blessed them. Then all of a sudden, the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham, they started to fight on saying words against each other. Because, you know, they had a lot of cattle, some were for Lot and some were for Abraham, and they wanted the same land to graze their cattle. So they started to fight and bicker between each other, which was not a good thing. Not good. We should try to live in harmony and peace with people to the best of our ability, you know. But they started to quarrel and say things against each other. And what there was disunity within Abraham and Lot's families, the herdsmen there. And so Abraham, hearing of what was going on, suggested that, look, maybe we can separate, which was nothing wrong with that, as far as separate. You know, let Lot and his herdsmen and all his cattle go in one direction, and let Abraham and all his cattle and all his family go in another direction, so that to keep them separate, so that they would have enough land to feed all the animals. And there was nothing wrong with that. So Abraham, remember, he had a covenant with God, and the blessings of the cattle were upon Lot too because of Abraham. Amen. When you see a man of God or a woman of God, get attached. Amen. Stay there. That's where the blessings are. I'm telling you. Not because they're special, but because God has pointed them out and sent them in certain places, and the blessings of God flow within them. And so it came to time they separated, and look at verse 10. Abraham looks at Lot and he says, Now Lot, choose whatever direction you want to go in. And whatever direction you want to go in, I will go in the opposite direction. To me, that was one of the most honorable things that a man could say. I mean, to give up the best of the land, basically. And to turn to his nephew and say, whatever direction, you go north, I'll go south. You go east, I'll go west. You know. Whatever it is, I'll do the total opposite so we can keep things separate, so there can be unity within our families. And look at verse 10. It says, And Lot lifted up his eyes. Stop right there. He didn't pray. Oh. He lifted up his eyes after Abraham told him that, and he started to look. He went from the north to the south, west was over, and east. He looked in every direction, looking at and saying, what is the best land? Now, it doesn't say this, but maybe he did. Maybe he went back. Lot maybe went to his herdsmen. You know, all the men that were taking care of the cattle, they said, which direction should we go? And so they may have all started looking at the north and the south and the east and the west, looking to see what was the best of their eyes, of the natural. God says in his word, now that we feel the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God dwells in us, that we are not to be moved by what we see with the natural eye. We are to be moved by what? The Spirit of God that dwells in us and that speaks to us. And it says, they beheld and they saw. Look at this. And behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the Lord of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you come unto Zoar. Look at this. They saw that land towards the Jordan. They're looking with the eyes, instead of getting on their knees before God and saying, Father, what do you want? Because we know wherever God is, there's blessing. Doesn't matter if it's a desert place or not. Doesn't matter back then if you could say with no wells to water the cattle. But if God says go, he will make a well. He will provide a well of water for us to drink and for the cattle to drink. And they looked and they saw this place of Jordan. The land was beautiful. But he went towards a city, two cities, twin cities called Sodom and Gomorrah. Not good. And they fastened their eyes, the lust of the eyes. We've got to be careful, people. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are the three damaging things to the humanity. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The pride of life is what got Lucifer in trouble. The greatest sin in all the world is probably the pride of life. Pride and arrogance. Look what I did. As I heard one pastor say one time, look at my kingdom. It's like you want to just drop and run because, Lord, do something. Kingdom, that can fall quickly. And so here we see, they take the land towards Jordan. And they go in, they take all their cattle, they take everything, their herdsmen, their families, their people. We got to watch which direction we go in. We got to watch the lust of the eyes, that we don't go in a direction that could destroy us spiritually. We got to be careful. That's why, you know, I've told you many times, we're not moved by feelings. We like to feel the Spirit. We like to feel God. We like to feel good. Huh? I mean, you know, come on. But we're not moved by that. We're moved by what the Spirit of God that dwells in us, that the Spirit of God that's speaking from the throne room of God by the Holy Spirit unto us. That's Christians today. That's supposed to be children of the living God that are moved by the Spirit of God and that are directed by the Spirit of God. I said, well, how do we get that? You get in his word. You find out what he says. You pray in the Spirit. You pray in your native tongue. And you ask God to tune up your spirit unto his spirit, that you know what to do when he speaks to us. And we can listen and obey his voice. And Lot takes everything he has and goes towards Jordan area. Beautiful grass. I mean, beautiful. I mean, I'm sure when the herdsmen of Lot and all that got to that land, and they saw the green grass that was just flourishing, they said, man, this is it. This is it. But they kept going a little further and a little further, and they got to a city. Well, there was twin cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. There were two cities. They say Sodom here, but Sodom and Gomorrah. and we know that was a wicked city. Here we see, we'll get back to Lot. Here we see Abraham. Abraham, the father of all nations, the father. God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, Sarah to Sarah. And he says, they take that land, I'm going to go the opposite. And he turns. And it's not a land like what they have. There's hardly any grass. There's a lot of desert. There's not a lot of grass for the cattle to eat on. But he said, I gave my promise that I would go the other direction. And so he goes in the other direction. You see, sometimes God will speak things to our minds and hearts, and it may not even look like, God, are you sure? It may not look right. It may not seem right. But we go in that direction of what he says, because we are moved by the Spirit of the living God. That's who we are. Not by circumstances, not by things that we see with our eyes. And we see Abraham, God bless this man. Bless this man beyond measure. Beyond measure. Lot, on the other hand. If he would have prayed, he would have taken that land. But they go, and they're beating and eating, and get close to these two cities. Lot was a great man at first. Loved on. But he got to these two cities, and they moved into the two cities, or that city of Sodom. His family, his herdsmen, all these people walked in. And we know Sodom and Gomorrah, God destroyed her because of the wickedness of evil in them. Because of the sin of the evil, and they would not repent of the evil. You know, it says that, you know, it says at one time, Abraham's going in that direction, and God starts to bless him more and more, giving him land. And Lot's going in that direction. Lot becomes a part of that city where God tells Abraham one day, look, I can't keep back what I'm going to do. That's how close of a relationship they had. And he turns to Abraham and the angels that were there, and he said, we need to tell Abraham what's going to happen. And he says, we're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the wickedness of evil. And people, I know nowadays, you know the wickedness of evil, of homosexuality. That's evil in the sight of God. Pride is too. Arrogance is too. You know, I mean, what I'm saying, but I mean, God in his infinite power and authority disdains that because it comes against all that God has made. God made male and female. He knows what's best. Man does not. And he turns to Abraham, God. He didn't go to Lot. I wonder, maybe this is just a question in my mind. Here, Lot is sitting in this city full of those things going on. Evil. Evil. I mean, just not in the closet evil anymore. Outside of the closet, into the roads, into the streets, everywhere in public. The arrogance of that sin of evil. I wonder if God tried to speak to Lot. If God tried to move upon Lot, and he resisted and resisted and resisted. And he goes to Abraham and he tells him, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And what does God do? What does Abraham say to God? Look, God, if there's only 50 people of righteousness, will you not destroy it? And God turns to Abraham and says, shoot. Then he went down to 40, went to, I think, 35, 30, you know, 20, got down to 10. And Abraham said, surely, Lord, if there's only 10 people of righteousness, can you imagine a city, Sodom and Gomorrah, with thousands upon thousands of people, and there's not 10 righteous people? We know Lot, yeah, he may have been real righteous. I mean, you know, maybe some things weren't totally correct, but not 10 righteous. People, we got to search our hearts and see if there be any wicked way in us. We don't want to stop the presence and the power of God from moving like He wants to move in our churches, in our families, in our homes because of something in us. Then He sends the angels to meet Lot. You can read the scripture, you can't hide it. But here they go into Lot's home. And it says that men started knocking on their door. We want to know those two guys. You know what I'm talking about? I don't have to get too explicit. You know what I'm talking about. And Lot must have been down very low to come to a place to say, well, you know, I have two of my daughters that have never been with a man. I'll send them out to you. Just don't touch these two angels or men in here. Isn't that low? As mothers and fathers, we protect our children. We try to do everything we can to protect them physically and spiritually. But you see, when we dabble with evil, we become numb to it. We become numb. That part of our heart becomes numb. And the only way it can be turned back from with life in it again is if the Spirit of God starts to move upon us and we call out to our God. And we know the story. Those two angels take out Lot and his children and his wife. And they bring them out and they tell them, don't look back. And we know she looked back, his wife, because she had a love for the evil and the sin in those towns. See, we need to pray, God, help us hate sin. Not to hate people. That's totally different. To hate sin so that we do not do those things of evil. That we separate ourselves and let, Lord, help us to live a life that is holy before you, Lord. You might say, well, Pastor, sometimes I fall. Well, hey, welcome to the boat. This is what we do. We go back to our God. And we say, Father, help us, help us, help us. Help us, Lord God, in these areas. Now, I want to get to this story. I have to say all that to get to this. Look at Genesis chapter 24. Before I go on, I just want to say thank you for being obedient to the Spirit of the Lord and letting God use you today. Thank you. And thank you also. Thank you. Amen. Genesis chapter 20. Look at verse 1. Talking about Abraham and Abimelech. And Abraham journeyed from thence towards the south country, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abram said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Zoar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you are but a dead man, for the woman which you have taken, for she is a man's wife. And Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, will you slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, this is my sister. And she, even she herself, said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yes, I know that you did this in integrity of your heart. For I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I not to you or her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for you, and you shall live. And if you restore her not, know you that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. had spoken to Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have their own son, 90 years old and 100 years old. Sarah must have been a beautiful 90-year-old woman, huh? For this man to want her. Now, the deception comes when they get to this city, and it wasn't a full lie, but it still was a lie. It had the same father, but not the same mother. They were half brother and sister. That was truth. But they didn't tell the whole truth when they got there. See, we got to make sure, you know, we got to speak truth. Now, we can't speak truth with arrogancy or truth with harshness, you know. Now, Jesus was harsh every once in a while to the religious people. They called him, snake in the grass and sepulchers, you know, whatever, all kinds of white sepulchers, you know, but yet they didn't follow what God wanted. But here we see they lied to Abimelech. They lied to him. They didn't tell the full truth. And he took her in because he was going to marry her, and she was going to become a part of Abimelech's concubine in that area. Now, you have to understand this. If she would have married him, where would the Savior would have come from? Because you see, they were to have a son, and within the year, and it wasn't a year yet, she was going to become pregnant from Abraham and no one else. And they would bring the son that he promised to them, and he would be in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So you hear, here you see, it's not just them lying, which was not good, but also trying to destroy the lineage of our Lord and Savior, and Jesus coming on the scene and being our Savior. There was a lot at stake here. And that night it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon this king and said, look, buddy, if you want to live, you better give back Abraham's wife. You know, he didn't say Abraham's sister. The only time sister's used is from Abraham and Sarah, or brother. Every time he talks about a wife, it's by the Holy Spirit and not by Abraham and Sarah in this scenario. So here we see, he says, you better get her back to Abraham. And he says, Lord, I'm innocent. I did not know. And the Lord acknowledges that he was innocent. And he says this in verse 6. It says, and God said unto him in a dream, yes, I know that you did not do this in integrity of your heart, but I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I suffered you not to touch her. It's an amazing thing. He would have sinned against God. Against God. That's a different scenario. We've got to make sure that we try to do everything we can, people, to live a life that is pleasing unto our God. And I say, Pastor, I fall sometimes. I understand that. Get on your knees, ask God to forgive it, you go on. You see, even in their sinning, God calls Abraham a prophet. Even in their evil, God calls him a prophet. And he even says in the latter part of that verse of 7, now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. And he shall pray for you, that you shall live. And if you restore her not, know you that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. It's an amazing thing. We often think, well, Lord, when I disappoint our God, that, well, God doesn't want to use us anymore. I mean, we feel, and maybe Abraham was in that place of he knew he had done wrong. He knew. And Sarah knew. And it's an amazing thing, if it wasn't for the dream that came to Abimelech, that it would have happened that way. Things would have destroyed the lineage of our Lord and Savior. But the dream came and spoke to him, the angel, and he restored back. He restored back unto Abraham, his wife. Praise God. And what did God have him do? Such a good God. He said, he will pray for you. The prophet will pray for you. People, don't give up on God. What God calls you to do, you get it done. You're going to have some slip-ups. You're going to have some falls. You're going to have some stumbling. But you get up and say, God has called me. I ask you to forgive me. And you go on. That's the kind of God we serve. Can you imagine? As Abimelech was coming back with Sarah. And he gave her to Abraham. And he said, you know, you can read it. You know, you lied to me. You know. And it's an amazing thing. God had to use an unsaved man to rebuke the prophet of God. And let me tell you, God will use unsaved people out there to rebuke us. To get us on track and to stay right. He will do it. If God can use a donkey and God could use a rooster, he sure can use an unbeliever if he wants to get us on track. And all of a sudden, the prophet Abraham prayed for him. See, the anointing and the power of God is upon us. Don't think that, man, well, I slipped up and I messed up, well, the anointing's gone. No, the anointing and the power and the presence of God is upon your life. And whatever he calls you and I to do, it's there for us. It's there for us. And God will help us. Because you see, it's because of the blood of Jesus that he can call us holy. Do you understand that you are a holy people towards God? That we're not some, you know, yet we're sinners saved by grace. But under the grace and the power of God, we are holy people unto him. Not because of what anything we've done, but because of the blood of Jesus that covers us, that he calls us holy. And I know we kind of like, oh, yeah, but, you know, you don't know. You don't know. You don't know. But that's okay. That's the Holy Spirit's job to clean us up. You know, that's like dirty laundry going into the washer. Takes a while to clean it up. And after it's clean, it needs to be dried. But that's the Holy Spirit's job to clean us up, people. You know what? Just lay up on the altar and say, Father, you see my mind, you see my heart, you see everything about me, Lord. Clean me up. Clean us up. That we can be the children that God has called us to be so that we can do the work that God has for us. The power of Almighty God. I mean, you know, we serve a mighty God. There's nothing that's impossible with him. He can do all things in our hearts and in our lives if we would just look to him. My God, he can restore marriages. He can restore friendships. He can restore families and friends back to one another. That's the kind of God we serve that can take a lost sinner out there and make him into a saint. He can take the bum down the street that we consider bums, you know, or alcoholic bum down the street, and make him into a preacher. Can you imagine?
Amen.
That's the kind of God we serve. He can take alcoholics and dry them up. My God.
Hallelujah.
He can take old chain smokers and stop up the chimney.
Thank you, Jesus.
He can do it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. That's the kind of God we serve, people.
Amen.
My God. He can turn us from dirt poor to very rich if he wants to. Amen. To finance the gospel, to get it out. Look, you are more valuable than anything in this world, people. And you have people saying, well, you know, this animal's rare and this. And yeah, I understand we should not try to kill all those things, but try to preserve if we can. Trees are important, the red trees, the, you know, the oldest trees in all the world. All that's important, yes. But I tell you, the blood of Jesus wasn't shed for any of that stuff.
Hallelujah.
God can make that again.
Yeah.
Huh? All he has to do is speak it. Speak it forth. But a soul of a man he can't make again. Every one of us have us. He can't make it again. He can't make us again. So the soul of a man is so important that he sent his son to reconcile man back to God by the blood of Jesus. Jesus came for humanity. Humanity. Because of the love of the Father. We got to protect the anointing of God. We got to protect the power of God. We got to do everything we can to welcome the Spirit of God into every church service. Every church service. That the anointing and the presence of God is forever poured out upon our hearts and our lives. See, you're so valuable to God that he'll just wait till we get desperate enough to call out to him. You know, when Peter was walking on that water, Jesus was just looking at him. Come on. But when he started to go down in that water, and he said, I help, Jesus came.
Amen.
That's the power of our God.
Hallelujah.
My God. That he's ready to help us. Look, we're not here to do my agenda or Jelaine's agenda or any of yours. Honestly, we're here to do the agenda of our Father. I'm not here just to raise up another church. I'm here to do the power of what God wants us to do and to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world at whatever cost it is. And there's only one way to heaven, and we know that. And that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's proclaim the word of God this week. Let's proclaim the word of God in our hearts and in our lives. Get in that word, people. Get in that word and eat it up. You need a healing from God, get in that word and find every scripture you can on healing. And you just quote it back to you, saying, Father, I receive what you've given unto me as far as healing. When you said it was finished, it's finished. You need deliverance. Get every scripture you can on deliverance. And say, Father, I put my trust in you, in the blood of Jesus Christ, and what you did at Calvary's cross, and I accept it, Lord God. You're healing in that area of my body, whatever it may be. We have to let the power of God move at will within our hearts and lives. You know, like somebody was saying the other day, Father, come to the realization that I cannot forgive. Well, thank you. See, we can't, you know, they finally say, I cannot forgive. I need Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, to help. And all we could say was that, you know, you're on the right track. Now you're on the right track. We need the power of Almighty God to do a mighty work in our hearts and lives. Stay submissive to the Holy Spirit. Stay humble before God. Ask God to move. Ask God to put a hunger in your heart for him like never before. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm too old. No, you're never too old. You're never too young. Never too young, never too old for a passion of the Holy Spirit. My God. My God. For God to do his mighty work. You may stand, please. I'm gonna talk till 1 o'clock. Okay. Everybody's leaving. Oh, I'm still talking. Okay. Amen. Praise God Almighty. It's a passion in my heart, the word of God. I tell you what. A passion in my heart. To see people set free by the power of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. I want to ask you a very important question.